Today, we are going to continue with our series, When God Called Us to Do His Will. And today we are going to take an example of Timothy. And we have been studying example from Jesus, the disciples, the Old Testament. Today we are going to have two verses from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. So if you have your Bibles, please, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Timothy was a young pastor at the church of Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul was his mentor. And now Timothy is a young person. We see here that he maybe is in his 30s, and he was afraid because people in the church, they thought, well, you are too young to be a minister. And he has many false teachers, and they were making Timothy's life very difficult. And then apart from that, he was enduring opposition from within in the church and without. Outside, they have the Roman Empire, Caesar is Lord, and Timothy was preaching Jesus is Lord. And then outside, they have the religious leaders teaching, you know, Judaism. And so Timothy, fear is the context of this chapter, of this book. Now, he lacks self-confidence, and in this second letter, Timothy receives Paul's advice. Paul reminds Timothy that any cowardice in his life did not come from the Spirit of God. And he says, do not fear. And this is the context of these verses. Let's read together these two verses. For this reason, I remind you to find and to find the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hand. For the Spirit of God gave us not to make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. But the King James Version used these words, and I just going to use these words from the King James Version. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting off on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that is our text this evening. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's spend a moment in silence. Fear is the context of these verses. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Fear. When we have fear, we cannot operate. We are passive. Max Lucado says in one of his books, he says something about fear. He said, fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountaintop. If he can rattle you enough, fear will persuade you to take your eyes off the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands. That is fear. Timothy is fearful. He's a young person, and he's having a difficult time in his church. And what about us? When sometimes you don't want to share the gospel with your family because your family were there and say, oh, he's a fanatic or she's not right. Your friends, you are going to lose your friends. What would they think about me? What if it's a mess up? I don't know what to do. Fear comes to our Christian life and probably churches. Sometimes we don't want to do it because we fear what people are going to say about us. Today, I just want to share a little bit about principles and advice to overcome fear. And then, sometimes we need to shake ourselves we become maybe passive in the churches and we are in maintenance mode, somebody says. And Paul says to Timothy, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Timothy have received the fire, the faith. Timothy have received Jesus in his life. When we receive Jesus in our life, we have the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. And sometimes we forget what we are to do. Sometimes the world set the temperature. And we as a Christians, we don't set the temperature upside. How do we rekindle our fire? That is the word in the King James Version. How we put that fire again. And today, I just want to give you something that perhaps Paul is trying to say to Timothy. We need to be proactive before we gain strength. We are to do something. He says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Timothy, as I said, he faced many challenges within and without. He was young. You could read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, to Timothy 2, 22. He was weak. 1 Timothy 5, 23 says that he has something in his life. He is not well. He has the false teachers in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 7, 19, verse 19, verse 20, chapter 4, verse 6. And he also faced the challenges outside the church. First of all, we need to examine ourselves. Are we doing right? Timothy, I remind you, says Paul, to fan into flame the gift of God. We do it by self-examination. Are we doing right? Timothy's gift was becoming stiff, dormant, inactive. How is your flame today? How is the flame of this church? Is our passion for the lost still consuming in our hearts? We have this enthusiasm to go and share. Darius Salter says in his book, American Evangelism, he says this, today the world observes a church living basically the same lifestyles that it lives. It is not enough for church members not to murder, steal, or commit adultery. Most of the world doesn't do that, at least not blatantly so. That's us. Sometimes people cannot recognize us, that we are different, because we do the same. We all do the same. We need to think, am I doing right here? We need determination. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. If we don't do something, there is one danger. You know what is the danger? That we will become lukewarm. Okay, I'm no longer concerned about the church. If I cannot come to church on Sunday morning, that's okay. If I'm going to miss a service one week, that's okay. I have to do this, I have to do that. Oh, I was helping in the Sunday school before, and now it's somebody else to do it. And we become lukewarm. There is a gentleman in the previous church. He's now 96. When he joined the church from another church, most people said, well, he's now almost 90. He cannot do it. And his wife died. And when his wife died, he was very low. And he says, Freddie, why am I going to do my garden? My wife is gone. But I knew he has been an elder in other churches. And I sensed something to say to him. I said, Ron, I need you. I need you to pray. And we pray together once a week. Ron, I need you with ideas. You know what? Most people, they will tell you that for years, 10 years ago, he was like started to get younger and younger. You know, and Ron was able to help us with many things we did in the church. It was another blessing. He had leukemia for years, and he's still alive. And when I see Ron, for me, it's a blessing. He rekindled his fire. And you know what? Now he's 96. And he's still dry. He still is active in his church. My friends, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to see yourselves, you need determination. Even if things are not right, for wrong, life was almost finished because his loving wife was gone. But now he's still serving the Church of Jesus Christ in the place that now he's living. And I love him so much. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. We need practical actions. We need to do something. We need to revive our sense of debt and duty. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We are not going to read, but I just want you to go to Matthew 25. And then if you check in Matthew 25, there is some parables here. And then the two parables here is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And then, what is it? They need to do something. And then we sang this evening, you know, about having the oil. They have to be doing something. The parable of the talents. The ones who receive the talents, they have to do something with that. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. I don't know what is the gift of God. I don't know what is your talent. There is a talent that you have. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you, said Paul to Timothy. You are the preacher? Okay, let's do it. You are a musician? Okay. You visit people? You need to stir up the gift of God. Sometimes we just need to shake ourselves, shake off the indifference, the pride, the selfishness, the worldliness, the fear, the discouragement. Some of you tonight, some of us, we need to stir up. Let's stir up the gift in us. You know, when you do this, you bring the things on the bottom to the top. So maybe you have, God has blessed, wrong, has so many gifts. And he's using them. He says, I want to die with my boots on. That's great. You know, doing things for the church. But now, sometimes we ask for volunteers for something, people think twice, okay. If we try to do something, people complain, okay. My friends, stir up. We need to do the things that God has encouraged us to do. He's coming. He will ask you, he will ask you, he will ask me, what did I do with the talent given to us? But we fear. Where fear comes from? It comes from our flesh. Something inside you say, you are not going to do it. Today I was talking to somebody who is preaching in another language, in Welsh. He's English speaking, preaching in Welsh. And he says, so difficult to preach in another language. Tell me about it, I said. And because sometimes we want the spirit to say something and say, so I'm going to have to end up speaking in tongues so you can understand. Paul says to Timothy, shall we read this verse together? For God, that is what God has given you. That is what God is giving me. That is what God has given to Timothy. And Paul is reminding him. For God has not given us, said Paul, all of us, spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. At conversion, we were given three strengths. First of all, we have given the strength of power. We have the power to do something. Jesus Christ was given the power to heal, to teach, the power to give us salvation. For us, we have power to use our gift to proclaim the gospel. The power to do things that people cannot imagine. Fear comes to our life. Let me tell you something. When it was 1995, I think. I was in a training, and then that was basically, if I failed that training, you stop your career. And then in the naval base, we have Christians. And then we started this sharing the gospel. And then gradually the group started to grow with other fellow Christians. And suddenly we have a group, like about 40 people in the services that we have. And it came a party. And then in that context, people drink a lot. You know, the naval base was about drinking. There was a particular party. And most of the new converts, they struggle. They have struggled in their lives with alcohol. They have, sometimes they will beat their wives. They have problems when they have been driving with alcohol. So now they said, Chief, we don't want to drink. So the person, the officer in charge of this big party, he knew that these new converts have a new life. You know what he did? He came to me and says, I want you to bring you people, because he knew that I was in charge of this. And being in charge, in Ecuador, there is a drink called canelazo. And that means it's a kind of alcohol with canela, which is a kind of spice. And when it's cold, you drink that. And, you know, I want you and organize that you will be in charge of the drink. You see the dilemma. Now, I was thinking about my career. I could say no. And then here they were, my brothers coming, the sailors and the others. The petty officer said, what we are going to do, Chief? What are we going to do, Freddy? Shall we come to this party? The Lord says, you know, that was a big dilemma for me. And I said, I fear for my career. I fear for these people. You know what we did? And then most of my people, they didn't want to go. And I said, why do you fear? You know what we did? I went to the officer's office and said, you know, sir, all the Christians are coming. And we will be there early. And we will do whatever you say. Are you? Yeah. We turned up. I said, then they call us to be there 10 o'clock because it was a party. I said, you have to be there 1 hour earlier. We're going to pray. And then we go to the party, and you will be in charge of distributing the alcohol and everything. But we know that that was a tricky situation. We went. You know what happened? They were in charge. They have different points. It was a big naval base. They were in different points. And they, my brothers there, they, you know what they did? They used the opportunity to share the gospel. So they were coming for a drink. And said, well, you know, why you don't drink? Well, you know, Jesus has done this. And suddenly, before 2 hours, the officer came and said, all of them are here, yes. You better go now. What I'm trying to tell you is that we could face dilemmas like Timothy, that our culture could say something. We need to stand up and do what God asks us to do. God bless that. You know what? Some of them say, Chief, I will never have the opportunity to share this. And we were talking about with the people. And they were surprised that we were there. Timothy wanted to run away from the church. Because the false teachers were having different teaching. These people were saying, you are not young, and you are young enough, you cannot do it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you receive power to be my witnesses in Bangor, in Anglesey, in London. If you are trusting in, drawing from, relying on, believing in the one who has the power, he will give you the power you need. Paul says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That means anything, we can do anything. And the Bible says as well in John chapter 1 verse 12, yet all who receive him, who believe in him, he gave them the right, he gave them the power to become children of God. I could tell you stories when you are there and you wonder, can I do this? Timothy, I remind you to rekindle the fire that is in you. And that, when we remember, we need to remember that we have a strength in love. We have a strength in his power. Jesus loves people, you know, and then he called us to rely on the power of love. But how we can have power in love? Well, the verse that Magnus put again tonight, that says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 18, said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. How many of you were children? I don't know if you remember when you were a child. When I was a child, if my father and my mother was at home, I will not fear. I remember my children when they were little. If I was at home, they were okay. Why? Because they rely on us. When we love God, there is no fear. Because we know he loves us. Paul reminds Timothy that there is no fear when we understand how much God loves us. The more we love God, the less we fear. Sometimes we forget how much God loves us. Love of God relieves our fears. Love for God helps us to be strong. Like when I was a child, I know that everything is going to be all right in my home because my dad was there, because mom was there. When we are Christians, we know that even if we are going through difficult times, we know that everything is going to be okay. Everything is well because God loves us. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Everything is going to be okay. Even when people, this officer, years later, I realized that this officer hated Christians. And he did it on purpose to cause me, because my career was, you know, I'm going to catch him. But all the things that people could do against you and me is going to be okay. Because we know that God loves us. Do you believe that? Why we are going through any circumstances in your life? God knows, because he loves us. So Paul reminds Timothy, God loves you. You don't have to fear. And then when we understand that, we love other people. I have to learn to love people who made my life difficult in my workplace, in my life. And we learn to love people because we know God loves us. In the verse, he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Most of the time, our fears come here in our minds. Somebody said that the mind is like a muscle, and we can train this muscle. So if we are seeing something that is not right, we are going to corrupt our mind. So God is giving us the strength of a sound mind. Most of the time we struggle because we have been fed with the wrong things. In Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Sometimes I think, whoa, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. It will be well. Can you imagine the author of the hymn that we sang this morning? It is well with my soul. If we start thinking in our mind, let's place ourselves in Horatio's life. How many children he have?
5.
The boy die first. The only boy. His business went because of the fire in Chicago. Wait a minute. This is a man who feared God. And then he's coming to Europe on holidays, but also to help who? D.L. Moody. And his 4 daughters, no one, not two, gone. What happened with our minds? The first question would be why? It's not fair. But I don't know you. Every time I sing that hymn, I cry. It humbles me. The faith of this man. And I heard, I don't know if that's the truth, that after that, you know where he finished his days? In Israel, preaching the gospel. Are you struggling this evening with things that are in your mind, in your life? If I trust in God and accept his way of thinking, I will be assured he will take care. Some people feel uncomfortable when we show the Bible like this. I'm going to show it just like that. I will not do it like this. If I trust in God's word and accept his way of thinking, I will be assured he will take care of me. Do you believe that? This is what helps us. The Bible is not a rule book. It's the word of God, who tell us everything we need to know in order to have a close relationship with him. And when I fill my life with this book, my mind is going to be stronger. My life is going to be a blessing to other people. So Paul is telling to Timothy, we have a faithful God, my friend. You need to conquer fear. Conquering fear is not a matter of self-determination. Conquering fear is not a matter of dependence. It's a matter of dependence on the God whom we can trust and love. We trust in him, and conquering fear is a matter of believe what? His word. Conquering fear is a matter of making our his promises, his gift that he has for us. But we can fear. So Paul is telling Timothy, son, rekindle your faith, the gift that is in you. For God has not given us a spirit that make us timid, but give us power and of love. And we need to have a sound mind. If you have received Jesus, you have the fire in your life. And Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of a sound mind. I invite you to think about your life. I reflect about my life. And sometimes, yes, I fear what is going to happen tomorrow. At the moment, we are struggling with our daughter. How am I a human being? And perhaps we fear. And these words are for me and for you. Paul is saying to you, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Self-control. May the Lord help us to do His will, whatever it is for you, but never have a spirit of fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. The power just to share the word of God, and of love, knowing that God loves you so much, He will look after you, and of a sound mind, knowing that everything is going to be okay because our Lord is looking after us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are times in our lives that we are fearful. There are times in our lives that perhaps we don't understand why things are happening. There are times in our lives that we wonder why this is happening to my family, to myself, to our society. Father, I pray for Penrall Baptist Church that we will not have a spirit of fear, but we will be having a spirit of power, knowing that the power belongs to you. We will be having a spirit of love. We will be having a spirit of a sound mind, knowing that you are in control of all our circumstances. So, Father, help us. Help us to do your will. Thank you for this letter. We know that Timothy persevered. Help us to persevere and do your will, and never allow a spirit of fear to conquer our lives. So thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. We pray that you could bless the week ahead and help us to remember that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.